for joining us. Amy Archer, for those of you who are guests here today, principal of Garden Elementary. I'm going to introduce Jody Dumas, and he will get us started.
Okay, well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming. We really appreciate the time this afternoon. So I'm Jody Dumas. I'm the Executive Director of Facility Services. And so it's really our department that's in charge of maintaining buildings across the district, custodial maintenance, everything under the sun. And so we're kind of in charge of the indoor air quality investigation and then any of the results that come of it and what we do about anything we find. So that's kind of our department. Let me introduce our team. So we got a lot of our team with us here today. So we've got Jeff. Jeff is our manager over technical systems. So he is our HVAC expert. Melissa Yavilar. Melissa is manages all of our indoor air quality problems across the district, as well as pest control, fire alarm systems, all kind of stuff like that. Eve Johnson is our assistant director of facility services. Jason Crump is in charge of custodial services district wide, and Kara Porter is she's our custodial manager for this area, so for specifically for the custodians on this site and the custodial cleanliness in the building. And then I'll introduce you to Jim Risk. Jim Risk is president and owner of OHC Environmental. Jim is a contractor for us. And so when we get into situations where through an indoor air quality investigation or whatever it may be inside school buildings where we don't have the expertise in-house, and when we get to some of the sophisticated testing that gets done, we don't do that in-house. We don't have the capability to do that. So that's when Jim, as our consultant, comes in, takes over, and runs the investigation from there. Which is what we had in this particular instance here. And so our goal for today is to really let Jim talk to you. So you've got, Amy, thank you so much for making the printouts of the report. You've got the report that Jim just completed based on all the time he spent at the school site. So what we're going to have Jim do is kind of take you through a short PowerPoint presentation, talk you through kind of the things that he did on campus, what he found, what he didn't find, interpretation of what he found, because a lot of times interpretation is an important thing, and then kind of our next steps. So we'll do that short presentation, and then we'll kind of open it up and just answer any questions, right? That's what we want to make sure we do tonight, is if you've got questions, we'll do our best. Mostly Jim will do his best to answer those questions, and if we can't answer them or there's some follow-up, we'll certainly come back and revisit whatever we need to. And if we need to come back and do another meeting like this, we're more than happy to do that too. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Risk.
Go ahead. Thank you very much for being here. Pleasure to be here with you all. And if you have any questions, please ask as we go. So first, I want to introduce myself. My name is Jim Risk. I am the president of OHC Environmental Engineering. And give you a lot of background about myself. I have about 44 years of experience doing indoor air quality investigation. So I have extensive expertise, especially in schools. We've been working with several schools for over 36 years now. I have a master's degree in industrial hygiene. I'm a certified industrial hygienist. I'm a certified mold assessor in the state of Florida. So I have a lot of credentials behind me. And I had with me, my helper was Tim Barnes. He's an IH. I think you've all seen him many times here. He's been watching over a lot of the cleaning up that was going on throughout. And we've done quite an extensive survey here. And that was really phase one of our assessment. But we collected a lot of data so far. So just wanted to step back and look at all the data we collected and just analyze the data to see how we want to move forward from here. So there's probably going to be some more assessments conducted in the near future. But we just wanted to take care of the things that we already discovered so far. So based on our extensive assessment, all I can tell you is there's nothing wrong here. It's all in your head, right? Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. Okay. No, there's actually several areas of concern that we need to address, okay? And what's really good is as soon as we discovered something, the school board jumped on it right away, and they've been correcting a lot of the items that we discovered right away. So we're gonna go through the report with you, what we discovered so far, and then we're gonna discuss all the action items that we're gonna be conducting in the future. Okay, so initially, the first thing we did, we just wanted to understand a little bit better of what is your concern and what are your symptoms. So we met with a lot of the teachers here, and they were very helpful in giving us as much information as possible about their symptoms, the history of the symptoms, the onset of the symptoms, the anticipation of the symptoms. So that really helps us a lot as far as narrowing down what to look for in the school. And some of the symptoms we found that were common among a lot of the teachers here. So that's what we really focus on, is what could be causing these type of symptoms. And there's a lot of things in a school or any building that can be causing symptoms to the building occupants. So again, first thing we did is interview. We did a fairly thorough interview with a lot of the teachers here. And then we did a visual inspection. We talked to a lot of the people. We talked to a lot of the maintenance staff, the managers here. You know, we want to understand the building in general. So I want just as a whole, understand the building, understand the air conditioning system in the building. You know, how many units, how does it work, when does it go off, when does it come on, how often is it cleaned, how often is the building cleaned, and so on. And then we did the moisture intrusion inspection. We have all kinds of nice instruments to look for moisture. Now it's not really the best time to look for moisture because it's been very dry outside. So most of the time that we test the walls, you know, it mainly came back dry. So it wasn't really a very good indication whether it's moist or not. It hasn't rained for a while, it's been dry. So the next step from that, again, we have moisture meters, we have infrared cameras. The infrared camera can actually see inside the wall, inside the cavity of the wall. The moisture meter can just tell us on the surface of the walls, the infrared actually sees inside the wall. So it's very helpful, but again, it's been very dry, so we can't really depend on it very much right now. Yes, sir.
You bring that up. Are you planning on coming back? It's supposed to rain this weekend. Are you going to come back and check for moisture in the walls after the rain?
We can. We're going to look into that, yes. Okay.
I didn't know if you had that scheduled.
Yeah. Again, we need like a lot of rain, a lot of moisture to really be able to see what's going on. But when we didn't stop there. Okay, there's other methods. So the next step is we try to find out where you had issues in the past, where you had water leaks, where you had any issues in the past that be causing moisture intrusion into the building. And then we start doing destructive testing. Okay, destructive testing means open up the wall to see if there's actually any moisture or any growth behind the wall. And we did that in several areas. We're still going to do a lot more of that later. But right now, again, we just wanted to stop with what information we have now to see how we're going to proceed. Then we did some destructive testing. Again, we opened up several walls to look inside the walls, and we're going to go over some of those results. We did inspection of the air handler units. Now, we know how to inspect air handler units. We dive into the unit. We don't just look at the general a mechanical system. You know, usually your maintenance includes, you know, just cleaning up the, changing the filters, cleaning up the coils, cleaning up the drain pan, and so on. But we go way beyond that. We actually dive inside the unit and see what's past these areas. And again, we're going to show you some picture of what is discovered in those areas. We collected some biological air samples, which were helpful. We're going to go over how to read and interpret that. We collected some dust mite sampling, and we did some comfort parameters. So that's a pretty extensive survey that we conducted so far. Yes?
Did we check for any gases as well?
No.
No gas? We didn't check for any? Okay.
No.
Just curious. Thank you. Also, can I bring up one point? I'm sorry to keep talking.
No. Please, ask questions.
So you, earlier in your conversation or in your speech, you said that the school board jumped right on the concerns immediately.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that? Because
We're going to go over each one.
Because I just want to make it clear that this has been ongoing for multiple years. And to say that we have been jumping on it right away, I call BS on that.
Well, let's get through the presentation. Okay. We can have
Let me clarify that point. Once we discovered it, okay, they jumped on it. I don't know what's in the past, you know, I do know the history, you know, you guys give me pretty good history.
We have it documented.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to inject here, I'm so sorry, but according to the Sarasota County website, where they're talking about the garden project here,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Department of Education staff walkthrough on 10/17/22, as early as 10/22, right after Ian, a determined school qualified for demolition due to significant damage from Ian and its age.
Let me tell you that. So let
That's
me explain.
Three
so,
years ago.
But it's separate, right? So, in order for us to tear a building down, so it's not related to what you're seeing today. So, in order for us to tear a building down, we have to get state permission. We have to go through what's called a Castaldi, right? And so, what the state does is we take a look at all the maintenance history over the course of the entire building's life. We take a look at what condition it's in. They come in and look around and create a report, and they have to approve us tearing it down, right?
That's fine. We're not talking about tearing it down. We're talking about mediation for the health and safety of the
Let's get through and we'll answer questions.
Sure.
But I want to... So DOE comes and walks through with us. They send a bunch of architects down. They walk through and they create a report that allows us to tear the buildings down. And so that report has to happen for us to tear the buildings down, for us to build a new building. So,
but it doesn't impact mediation.
No, of course not. That's what we're talking about today. So, and again, we'll answer a lot of these questions. There's only like five slides. Let's get through. On some of these more kind of extensive comments in terms of what's happened in the past, We'll certainly talk about those. Let Jim get through kind of where we are, what the results are, what we're doing, and then we'll open those conversations up.
And will that include scope of the contract services?
Yeah.
Will we understand exactly what was... Okay.
Yeah.
I also saw in the testing that we didn't test for rodents, which I know for a fact there are rodents in the building, so can somebody speak to that later maybe? I know we have our expert here that might be able to speak to that.
Yeah, we could talk about that. And if we're seeing any current rodent activity, we can talk through that. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Are we able to get a copy of the DOE report?
DOE report?
You said they came in to say that...
Yeah, there's a Castaldi report that talks about why we want to tear the building down.
Yeah,
so we can get you that. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's all public record. Absolutely.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, sorry.
So again, what I'm talking about is since we came here, okay, and not in the past, we're not that involved in the past, but since we've been here, you know, these are what our findings, and that's what was done about it.
Did you do previous air quality tests prior to this?
We did one time before, yes.
Okay.
But not as extensive. We didn't go as extensive at this time around.
Do we know what caused more extensive testing from the last time to this time?
Yeah, the nature of the complaints, right?
Yeah.
We had a lot more complaints, and so...
The media is what caused this.
No, we had more complaints. And Amy's here. She can talk to this. Yeah.
So where the complaints are located is the staff member reports to us. We have a form that we fill out expressing a desire or a concern about air quality. That's submitted to the facilities department, and then they come down and do a visual or conduct a video referred to that. But then we had reoccurring issues and symptoms. So it wasn't going away. And so we continue to express concern, which is what elevated it to then ask for additional help from an outside agency.
That's absolutely true. Go ahead, Jim.
So again, some of the symptoms, the common symptoms, there's a lot of different symptoms, but we're trying to just focus on what is common symptoms among several of the teachers here. So of course, headaches was very common, watery burning eyes, congestion, itchy skin, rashes, allergy-like symptoms, sewer odor. So again, these are just the common ones that we discovered between a lot of the teachers. There's a lot of other symptoms that we've seen that just not, you know, just the individual persons are experiencing them. So that's really what we focused on, is what could be causing these type of symptoms. So first, as far as sewer-like odor, we did go above the drop ceiling and we discovered that one of the fans, the exhaust fans for the bathroom, apparently they were being worked on, and I guess it got forgotten or something, but it was not connected. Okay. So of course we addressed that right away with the school board, and from what I understand they took care of it immediately. And they even went through and checked all the fans for all the exhausts from the bathrooms. So hopefully it was right in room 138 that we discovered that. So hopefully you're not having that odor anymore.
She's moved out into a portable.
They moved me to a portable.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, whoever is in that area, hopefully you're not.
We are.
They are.
We are.
Still are?
Even
okay.
It's this week, past week, a matter of fact.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to have Jim list. Jim can bring in a gas monitor, mm-hmm. put it in those classrooms, and we'll check for that.
Okay. Then there was a slight carpet off-gassing odor in the vestibule 122B. So we're looking at all the carpets in general. And you know, apparently in that area, there's no air movement, there's no circulation. And it was very hot when we came in. And as soon as you walk in, you can really smell the off-gassing. So we're looking at all the carpets throughout the school, especially in the vestibules where there's no air movement. Signs of water damage. We didn't really see any signs of water damage, but again, it's been really dry here, so we didn't expect any, so that's why we started doing some destructive testing. And we did destructive testing in several rooms, not in all the rooms that we want to look at yet, but we looked in several rooms already, and based on that, you know, we're gonna look at additional rooms. So based on the destructive testing, we looked at in room 138, right by the door. We opened up the wall and we took a sample of that and sent it in for analysis. And we did discover that there was some amplification of biological agents right there, okay? So we immediately notified the school board and they came in and abated that area. So we're gonna go back and look at some more rooms right by the doors and so on, especially in the rooms where we got some air amplification, and do some further testing on that and destructive testing to see if there's any source or reservoir.
When will that take place?
Very soon. Again, we just wanted to get all the information together, you know, meet with you, try to address what we've discovered so far, but probably within the next week or so, we should start doing the additional testing. Yes.
So if it's here, it might be other areas. How long does it take to affect a child having this around them?
There's no way we can really tell that because every person is different. That's why we cannot set up a standard for mold, okay?
Right, but so, like a couple days or a year. Oh, have no, to be it won't in the be. No. For a year.
Yeah, and the samples we got in the air samples are not very high. But you know, again, if you're exposed for a long period of time, then yes, it may affect you.
Okay.
But we can't really tell you how long. Again, first of all, I'm not a doctor. I cannot elaborate on that. Second, we don't know. We really just don't know.
Okay.
Yes.
Doesn't the air sample testing depend really, again, if you're saying that this all depends on moisture, wouldn't your air sample testing also be a false negative or a false absence of presence if the squares are dehydrated and not active? So basically, if you're testing the air and it's really dry, the spores aren't going to be active, so it's not going to be prevalent. Whereas in the fall and the winter, when we have a lot of water, the spores are going to be more active, the mold's going to be growing more, and therefore you're going to have more in the air present.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is the air testing that we just did right now also isn't an accurate reflection of what it truly has been over the course of the
Well, if there is a reservoir, then it's going to tell us. It's going to tell us that there is amplification, maybe lower than if it's in the middle of the summer. But it's going to tell us that there is amplification, okay? And what we're trying to do now is not wait until the summer. We're trying to address it and take care of it now before the summer and
I
before the rainy season.
That this testing is just reflecting, as you said, in a dry environment.
Yes.
So
okay.
It may not be accurate and it may be much larger.
Well, no, it's accurate, but it's not reflective of like the rainy season. But
like
as far as accuracy,
September.
Yes. It's very accurate. Okay?
Accurate for this moment. But
for this moment, yes. It's only reflective of the time that we sampled. Okay.
And that's a good point too, right? Excuse me. That's a good point, right? And this is not a one and done with Mr. Risk here, right? So, and I will say, somebody asked me about scope of services, right? So let me talk to that a little bit. So when we bring Jim in, we don't say, Jim, here's what we want you to do. What we say is, Jim, we have a problem. Come tell us what you think, right? You do the investigation. You tell us what's next based on your expert opinion, right? And so that's where we are with Jim. I just told him that when he started the investigation. That's still where we are. So when Jim says, listen, I think we need to retest over the summer, or we need to retest when you get rainy, or whatever that needs to be, we're happy to do that. Again, at the end of the day, what we want to do is identify if there is a problem. And if there is a problem, how do we fix that? Jim drives all of that. That's not Jody or Melissa saying, hey, Jim, you spent too much money, stop here. That's him driving, in his professional opinion, what we need to go to next. So I just wanted to make sure you guys understood that. So when we talk about a test of right now, that's reflective of absolutely. What are we breathing right now in these rooms? That's what Jim's identifying. If he thinks we need to come back during rainy season and we retest over the summer, we can absolutely do that. We can clear it before school comes back. So those things we can absolutely do based on kind of what Jim wants us to do to make sure we are on top of anything that may be in the air we're breathing here in the environment. So I just want to clarify that.
So basically,
with that being said, is that your thought, is that you are going to come back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's more. There's more assessment. Like I said initially, this was the first assessment that we did. There's going to be more assessment that we need to do. But again, we collected so much data, so much information. I just want to sit back, look at the data, look at all the information we have so far, so we can determine how we want to move forward. And we want to correct what we discovered so far and not just wait on it.
First, just to make sure, again, you said this is the first time you've been out. We have done multiple tests here. This is the first destructive test you've performed at the school.
This is the first time I've been out.
Okay, but OHE has been here in
prior. Yes, we've been here before. Yes, okay. Correct.
And what's the communication going to be like between, how are you going to educate families, teachers, as we continue to go through these tests? Because it's been very lack of, in my opinion, transparency to families and...
Well, remember, we got to get to a point that we know what's, we kind of got an idea of what's going on, which is where we are now. We'll work closely with Amy and her staff to say what works for Garden Elementary. Every school is different. Every culture is different. So however we need to communicate what we're doing moving forward, we're happy to do that. And again, we'll work with Ms. Archer, excuse me, Amy, in terms of how she wants that to work, but we're happy to do that. So for example, we talked about Jim being involved here ongoing. So room 138, and Jim will clarify this, where they found moisture. 138's got an exterior door to the outside, right? And so what's happened over the last several months, year or so, we've got big storms, blowing wind. Potentially what's happened, because what they found was right at the bottom at the door jamb, at the very bottom, a little evidence of mold on the back of the drywall. We might have blown rain at some time that got in there. We didn't notice it, and that's how it sat there for a little while, and that's how we got that mold. So what are we doing? We're going to go to every exterior door where there's drywall next to it, and Jim's going to take a sample of it and check it. So those are the types of things that we found something. We know where we might be headed in other areas. We're going to go check those areas and make
Why
sure.
Why just the exterior doors?
Well, that's
where we're checking everything right now, but we're just focusing on the exterior door because that's what we discovered so far, and that's usually the most common area that we find issues because it's coming through the door, around the windows, and so on. So initially, again, we did sampling with our moisture meter, with our infrared camera. Everything looked dry, but that was not good enough. You know, there's no visible, any visible sign of any mold growing on the wall. But from experience, we know that, okay, based on the symptoms that were given to us, okay, there's something here. We got to find it. Okay, so that's when we start tearing up the wall and tearing up as much as we can to see. We looked in other areas. We didn't look just by the wall. We looked in some of the interior walls. We looked behind by the cabinets and so on. So we looked in several areas, but they're just the only areas so far that we discovered there's some growth.
So every place that you've looked, you discovered something.
No. The other areas were not.
Okay.
No. So that's why right now we're just focusing on around the doors because that's the most common area we see. Yes.
I'm just curious. So, like, my son's been in a portable for the last 2 years, and that's where a lot of his symptoms have stemmed from. I believe in these last 2 years. Are you doing more different testing on portable, or are you just doing like the same exact testing? Because obviously they have been exposed for, or however you want to say, it's a different type of build. So, is there a different testing you're doing?
Yeah, portables of course are completely different, but I think you saw that we are going through and cleaning up all the air conditioned units of the portables. So again, we're gonna show you some picture where we did discover that there's some issues in air handler units in the portables. So after we do that, we're gonna go back and do another inspection, and if everything looks good, then we're gonna do another set of air samples in the portable. Okay. So and we're gonna do a lot more sampling here to make sure everything's okay. Again, especially during the summer season when we have a lot of rain, then, you know, we're gonna have a better, but we wanna try to fix everything before then. You know, we don't wanna wait till the rainy season.
I just was gonna say, I think, you know, the large packet that you received is the final report. And wherever there was an inspection, you could see what was presented in the room or in the portable. So when you look through that, that might give you more specific information about the
So again, we tried. I'm sorry. You have a question?
Yeah.
Yes. Towards the end of April, we received an email that you stated that the rooms were safe for occupancy.
Yes, based on the air samples collected.
I think it was prior to that. I think it was just a visual inspection. So
now, do you
believe that's scientifically accurate, that it's safe for people to occupy the building if we're doing destructive investigation that may be releasing additional contaminants into the air quality?
The area that we open are very small areas, okay? And we don't really disturb anything. We just kite and then just look and take a sample of it.
Even with your note right there that says high level? I mean, it's a safe environment when we're indicating, even on a small panel?
Now, that was previously. We're not saying that now, okay? Mm-hmm. That is not in our last report. It's not... You know, so Now, is again, we're trying to correct the issues that we're finding.
Is there a reason why only destructive testing was done in room 138?
No, we did in other rooms, but again, that's one area that we had some issues, so we're focusing on that initially, but again, we're going to go back and look at other rooms as well. And we have not finished our assessment yet. Yes.
To just clarify, and forgive my pronunciation, Stachybotrys.
Stachybotrys,
that is
yes.
Black mold, correct?
Yes, that is black mold, correct. Yes. And I will talk about that. We're going to talk.
Right?
What's that?
Any amount of that is unsafe.
We do not like to see any Stachybotrys in the air, correct.
What happens if you have a teacher and a student in the same classroom that tests positive for that?
Stachybotrys?
Do you think that's a safe environment for that classroom to be in that room if they've tested positive for those toxins?
How would they test positive?
Because they did personal testing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a safe environment for families and children and adults? I'm telling you, I'm outraged to see that we have tested positive for black mold. And we have teachers and children.
Can you just let us finish up?
This is the topic we're talking about. First of all, can we talk about a conversation that you and I had on the phone? You told me on the phone, this is why we provide teachers with insurance. You and I had this call. 100% we did. I wish I had it recorded. You also said we it's probably seasonal allergies, and we have found nothing. This was just 2 weeks ago.
That was prior to the air testing.
First of all,
hold on a second.
I'm calling you a liar if you're not going to back down and say you said that.
Do me a favor. Can you let Jim get through and explain the levels that we found in the classrooms?
How
and
dare
then we'll
you? Okay. How dare you?
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Jim.
Please let me finish. Again, I cannot comment on whether it's the health effects or not, because I'm not a doctor. Okay, all I can comment on is whether there is if there's any airborne fungi in the air and so on. Okay, what we discovered so far. Again.
Not right.
All right, so again, we did open up the wall. We did find that there is some amplification. Again, we collected bulk samples and indicated a high level of creatinine and low levels of Aspergillus penicillium. That's usually what we find most of the time is Aspergillus penicillium. That's the one that's most common. Cladosporium, Aspergillus penicillium, and so on. Okay. And Stachybotrys. All right. Now, again, Stachybotrys was a low level of Stachybotrys. And I'll be happy to explain to you. Stachybotrys usually grows from, it has to be very moist environment, not just wet. It has to be very moist environment because it likes a lot of water, not just a little bit of moisture. Okay. And it usually grows on the back side of the wall because it cannot compete with Aspergillus penicillium and Cladosporium and so on, and needs a high nitrogen level. So it usually finds it on the back side of walls. Now, usually, unless there is a very high contamination in the wall, also Stachybotrys is a heavy mold. You're right, it is black and it's heavy mold, all right? So it's not usually found in the air unless it's a pretty high level, there's a big reservoir of it, all right? So again, we did not find it in the air, but we did find it in the building material. So that's why we're going back and doing more assessments of the building material.
But when it rains, it might be in the air.
If there is a leak, and the material becomes completely wet, then yes, it can grow. And at that point, if there's a large reservoir, then it becomes airborne. Okay, yes.
How far can it travel airborne?
It can travel.
So
it's fungi, they're very small. The spores can travel.
So our rooms are all open. Mm-hmm. So you're saying it can, and the school is a complete open circle. So it travels throughout all of the rooms? Is that something that
if
could happen
in the
occur?
Air? Yeah, if it's just like all molds. Okay, molds, the average size of mold is 10 micron. So it can definitely travel. It's very small. However, again, you know, we did not find any in the air. We found the low level and the surface was actually dry. It was not wet. We did find a low level. And that's why we want to make sure that's all corrected before the summer, before it can get wet. And hopefully that will be all fixed so it's not going to leak again. Okay.
When was this study commissioned? Because this school had flooding and a lot of water and a mess with Ian. And again, mm-hmm. I referenced you know, the report that was put out about the school, you know, getting into school and everything, and you clarified that that's what we're talking about here. But there was a lot of water, there was saturation, and my understanding is staff have been experiencing that at least since then. And as you pointed out, the heating and the air conditioning systems all apparently need to be cleaned thoroughly.
We're going to get into that
okay.
in just a minute, okay?
So
yes, we're about no more than 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So again, for all, for you who are in portables, we are cleaning all the air handler units in the portables, and we are doing a deep cleaning of those air handler units. We're not just cleaning the coils and so on, they're actually taking them completely apart and cleaning them and putting them back together. So that's a pretty thorough cleaning, and the ductwork as well.
And just so you know, that's, we don't do that in-house either. That's a certified mold remediator. They're certified to go in and clean ductwork and air handlers on the side. It's Simpson Environmental. Jim recommends them as being a cleaning company. So they're the ones that are doing all the cleaning for us.
How do you decide which rooms or portables or air conditioning systems or ducts or whatever get cleaned first?
We looked at all of them, okay, and it doesn't. We didn't really decide which ones get cleaned first. We just recommended to clean all of them, okay. And we took pictures, and we have pictures here. We're going to show you some of the pictures. So I don't know how it was decided which one cleans first.
How it was prioritized to, like, portables are done first versus the building.
Was there more severity in the portables of what you obtained as opposed to the building?
No, they all have to be cleaned.
And we started with the portables, I think, correct, Melissa?
What?
We just started with the portables. They come every night. They work after hours. And okay. So they come as soon as kids and staff are out of here. They come. They work overnight. They get that room done or whatever section they can get done, and the class is ready for the next day. So they work at night concurrently while school is going on.
Right, but you didn't take the portables to work on first because they were worse than inside?
We did not. No, we just kind of picked that as a starting place.
Yeah.
Our goal was to get them in going as quick as possible, and that just seemed like a logical place to start as quick as possible because we knew we had to clean them. We wanted to get going on.
What took so long for this to begin? Only 3 weeks ago, and this problem has been going on for much, much, much longer than that, my understanding.
So we have, and if you look over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, there are several indoor air quality complaints that have come in. Typically, they were a room with a concern that would come in through the team here, and then we dispatch out our people. We'd look at it, not find anything. Jim's team was involved in one or two of those. I can't remember how many, but basically, just because we had so many complaints and we weren't getting a handle on it, that's why we said, Jim, we got to do a full-blown analysis here. So it was kind of just an escalation of what we couldn't take care of in the past. And again, working with Ms. Archer, we had more teachers saying the same thing versus a complaint from a single teacher in a room. We'd look at that room, but we had more teachers, more staff saying, I'm feeling this way, I'm feeling that way. That's why we said, Jim, we need you to kind of do an analysis of the entire building. So that's how we ended up here.
I'd just like to refute real quick what you just said. On November 8th, 2023 is when this, as far back as we can go, and we've had 5 since that have been reported with sewer smell and mold-like smell in the classrooms, again causing teachers and students to have watery or dry eyes, sore throats, dry mouth, runny noses, and headaches. And this was reported to Sarasota County Schools.
Yeah, and we've got all that. So in every one of those cases when there was a report, and we can provide that too. So in every one of those cases when there was a report about a sewer smell, there was an investigation and, if needed, any actions taken. But we didn't get to the point that we had it.
So if you would have caught it back in 2023, people could have been not sick. You put them in a sick environment. You could have done more destructive testing back in 2023 because, according to what she just said, there was a lot of people that reported similar issues back then.
It's not a lot, but we'll provide all that to you. You can take a look at the reports we have.
So we could have prevented a lot of illnesses. And do you have the report on how many teachers have left to go to the hospital as a result of being in this building? Do you have that study of when you sent out a survey to all the teachers? How many reported illnesses? Can you provide that for us as well?
I think Amy might have that.
Okay. I would love to see how many teachers have reported symptoms and illnesses due to the environmental conditions here.
We have some more questions here. We'll take some more. Yes.
Was there ever a discussion or consideration to shut the school down, relocate us, or go remote while all this investigation remediation
is being done? And again, I'll let Jim answer that question because
I'm going to ask you that question as the director of facilities.
No, there wasn't because what I do is I rely on Jim, right? And so when Jim comes in, the first thing we say is we talked about it. When we first started to get the results back from the indoor air quality testing, that's the first conversation we had is it safe environment? Are the levels at a level that we are considering that's unsafe? He would say yes or no. And so we are not at that level, and he'll take you through and show you what we have. Correct me if I'm wrong.
We were told yes, they were safe based upon one outdoor air sample that was
compared. This is a lot of air sampling that was done.
Yeah, this time we did a fairly extensive study, not just one or two. We sampled most of the rooms, basically.
I understand that, but it's only compared to one outdoor air sample.
Two. We should compare it to two outdoor air samples.
And,
that's the standard procedure.
Destructive testing done in one room. So how are we?
So far.
Right.
Again.
School year's almost done.
We're still working on it. We just started 3 weeks ago, guys. There's a lot that we've done in 3 weeks. We came in and we did a lot of destructive testing, a lot of air samples. We already started cleaning up the units, you know, there was a lot, we did some remediation already. So there's a lot done in just 3 weeks.
And we appreciate that. You just have to understand our kids have been going here a lot longer than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I understand that, absolutely. Yes.
So I think what I'm thinking, because I know there are corrective action plans, and it may be helpful if we can get
Let's go through the rest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, only a couple more slides.
Share what is being done, and that way, if there are additional questions or requests about further testing or what else could be done, that might be helpful.
Sure.
Okay.
So again, yes, we are going to do some additional destructive testing. That is in the plan. We just wanted to get through that first phase, get handle on that, start the remediation activity right away, and then we're going to come back and do additional testing. Okay, so again, that's where we discovered that there was some. We opened up the wall here. Again, there was no signs of moisture. There was no signs of any growth, nothing. But we, as a due diligence, we wanted to go ahead and open up the wall, and we discovered that there was some growth at the corner here. And we already had that remediated. We're going to go back through and look at a lot more walls and other areas like that.
Jim, can I stop you for a second there, too? Yeah. So once we do, if we do find anything behind a wall, we bring in a certified mold remediator who does that work, right? So they're certified to do that work, protecting the indoor environment when they do that. So again, that again is not us. We bring in somebody that's certified to do that work, and then Jim kind of oversees that work. So again, mm-hmm. if we do find something, we address it with certified people to make sure that's done correctly.
But how many have you actually done?
That's the only place we've found it so far.
How many have you looked for?
We looked at a few rooms so far.
What's your denominator is what I'd like to know.
Again, like I said, this was just the first phase. We're not finished yet. All right. But now that we discovered that, we want to go back and look at some more rooms to make sure there's not in any other room. All right. So again, we're not finished by any means. This is just the first phase that we went through. Yeah. And if you can see here, when they removed that, it was actually under full containment. So we built an enclosure around it. So this way, when we're removing it, it's not being released into the building environment. It's being exhausted straight out into the outdoor air.
In this report, is it page 58 where you can find the other areas that have currently had a biological surface sample result?
Yes.
Okay. So that would help everyone understand that while this one room was destructive, that there have been other swabs, and that there could be additional testing done as results are found, but that's where you may be able to look at more information about what destructive biological assessments have been done and the findings on
each 58. Okay, so we also looked at air handler units, and again we look at we went way inside the unit, way beyond the exterior, what is normally taken care of as far as the coils were clean, the filters are clean, the drain pan is clean, all that is maintained on a regular basis. So we go way beyond that and look at other areas that are usually hard to assess.
How often are the filters cleaned at the school?
2 months.
Replaced, not cleaned, replaced. Yeah.
They're replaced every 2 months?
Every 2 months, and we run a, so we converted, during COVID, we converted from a MERV 8 to a MERV 13. So we run MERV 13 every 2 months.
Is there records of that so we can just verify?
Yeah, okay. And so somebody asked me for them, and so that the way that comes in, it comes in a huge invoice from our we don't do that. We contract out filter changing. And so we've got to go through every invoice and pull the garden. We'll have that for you. Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You. So again, we did discover that there are some areas inside the air handler units. As you can see, that's what we call a vibration collar. That's between the motor and the ductwork, so the noise and the vibration from the motor does not extend into the ductwork. Okay, so usually on a lot of these units, you have a vibration collar like that. Okay, so we discovered.
On page 8 of the report, you can start to see some of the photos of the air infection.
Also, we found that around it. So all around it, there's also some discoloration that we recommend it has to be completely clean. So they're going to go through and literally take the unit apart, clean it thoroughly, and put it back together. And that's what we're in the process of doing now.
And that's the work that's being done at night?
Yes.
Yes. And we just started with the portables, but that's going to be done for every unit in the building.
Including the ductwork, right? So not just the air handler, all the ductwork which feeds the air handler, we're going to clean that too.
That was cleaned or will be?
No, that's
will be.
Part of what we're going to do. We're going to, when we clean the air handler, we're going to clean the ductwork, both return and supply into the room.
In the building?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And that being said, can you tell me how old the ductwork is in this building?
Probably original.
Original?
Probably.
So I
went so, no. Well,
yes, we have
also handles asbestos, right?
Yes, so we have a full asbestos survey for the building.
Yeah, all of our buildings we did a survey.
Under AHERA. Under AHERA, we have to have an asbestos survey for every building. So you had that done a long time ago.
Okay.
When was the last time all the ductwork was cleaned?
Oh, it's been a long time. It really has. I don't even know that I can get back and tell you how long it's been.
What's the industry standard to do that?
Clean ductwork?
Yep.
You know, it depends. I mean, you think about your house, right? How often you clean the ductwork on your house? And so there's really no industry standard. Typically, you keep your filters clean, you change your filters. That typically protects your ductwork and everything down the line.
It's supposed to, yeah. Now, the ductwork is exteriorly insulated, so it's all metal inside. So that's good because, you know, nothing can really stick to the metal very much. But we're still going to go ahead and clean it completely anyway.
So when you do that type of disturbance, aren't you going to amplify the numbers in
those rooms? No, because they put the unit under negative pressure when they do that.
Okay.
So they actually seal it up and put it under negative. Okay. There's a whole procedure under the Air Conditioning Association that tells you exactly how to. And the people that do that, they have to be first mold remediator and contractor,
yes.
Mechanical contractor, to be able to do that.
So when we went through this, I'm not even sure how many years ago, maybe 8 years ago, and they determined that it was off gases from the carpet.
Oh, the carpet, yeah.
But that the ductwork
did
not.
No, we did not touch. We ripped out. So if you remember, if you were here about 8-10 years ago, whatever it was, we had a distinct crayon smell.
Yeah,
that's what I would call it.
Yeah.
In several of the classrooms, and so we looked and could not figure out what that was. Eventually, what we found, we cut the carpet. We cut pieces of carpet. We put it in baggies. We let it sit a couple days, and then it was the same smell in baggies. What we found was it was the glue. Degrading the back of the carpet, and so what we ended up doing that next summer, I think it was. Is we all the carpet that was in that condition, we yanked it out. Yeah, replaced it. Yeah.
So why didn't we at that time not replace it where it could get water damage, like under the sinks or?
So the carpet we run in all of our, so this carpet is specifically built to be in classrooms and wet areas. It's got a backing that doesn't allow water to flow through it. That's the backing though. They had some bad batches of carpet, and that's the backing that was breaking down.
This is the carpet we use throughout the district. We went to carpet standard 20 years ago. We use it in wet areas, we use it everywhere. It is made for the school environment, and it's made to not let, all of our seams are chemically welded, and so the theory is it doesn't allow water to penetrate, so our custodians can come in and extract out anything we need to. So it's made for those environments. However, it was a bad batch of carpet. It was not only this school, we had that carpet that we installed over that summer. It was several schools we had that problem. It was all yanked out and replaced.
So is that similar to LVP, where it's waterproof all day long on top, but if you get your washing machine flooded and it goes under, then you're kind of screwed?
If it goes under and we find it, so if we get a flood...
Like down a wall?
If we get a flood, you're exactly right. If we get a flood underneath that carpet, and typically if we get a flood, that's one of the things we do. We pull that carpet back along the edges, because if it's wet underneath, it's got to be cut out and dried, or it's got to be replaced. You can't let that sit because it doesn't dry under there because it's got that backing on. So you're exactly right.
So I can have a question then, because my portable had a leak in the bathroom last year. And so now I think that my portable probably needs to be checked out, because the only thing that they did was put a fan in there and air dry it out.
So portables have different carpet. We don't put that expensive carpet in portables, because portables are temporary. So we get your portable number, we'll tear into that carpet as soon as we can, this we can look at for you. But I should have clarified, portable classrooms have a different carpet. It does not have that backing on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
When the building, we were thinking maybe it was 2001.
It's been a long time.
Relocated to Venice Middle. Would any of ductwork been addressed during that?
We don't have records back that far. Okay. That would be tough for us to go back that far and say was ductwork addressed.
Well, we probably should figure that out.
It's an inconvenience to dig that far.
Yeah,
it's public. You should have the records.
Okay, so these are the units and the portables. Okay, as you can see, we're completely taken to... We completely taken it out and doing a thorough cleaning of it. That is the same thing that we're going to do for each one of those air handler units. We're going to completely dismantle it, clean it up, and put it back together. So it's going to be quite an extensive cleaning.
I'm done.
We did collect some biological air samples, and we did find that there were some areas where we did find some amplification of biological agents, especially Colvarelia. And it's not high amplification. You know, if you look at the numbers, like 40, I think one of them was up to 200. That's only like 40 is about 3 or 4 spores in the air.
If long-term exposure to that level, can that make you sick?
Yes, I'm not a doctor. I cannot comment on that. But
so can we pause for a second? This is a big topic. Okay. So if this is showing positive, people have had long-term exposure to it, what are you going to do for the people that have been affected by this, that have had to spend money out of pocket for medical?
So
I know you said they had insurance, but... It's pertinent to the topic that's on the slide,
let's
sir.
Let's get through the next slide,
okay.
Please. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So again, we did discover that there's some amplification. Again, it wasn't high enough that we have to close the school or anything like that, but it's definitely high enough that we need to take action on it right away. And that's what we're trying to do. Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm just clarifying, but that's because we're in a dry thing. So it's August, September, where our kids were here during like storms and rainy. Mm-hmm. This could have been very different. I'm just trying to understand in my head, because I have sick kids.
It could, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
And we've been reporting it for years.
And there's documentation of that.
So these are the air samples. And you have copies of all the air samples that we collected in the report. Okay, so normally what we do, we take a sample outdoor before we start the sampling event, and then we take another sample outdoor after the sampling event. And that's what we compare to, because there's no standards for biological agents. I try to come up with standards, but everybody reacts differently to biological agents, depending on your sensitivity and so on. All right. So the best measure we have, and that's what's recommended, just compared to the exterior samples, and that basically tells us, you know, of course, it should be much lower than the exterior because it's conditioned air and so on, but we have certain building material indoors that supports these biological agents, like drywall. You know, they grow very well on drywall, ceiling tile, and so on. You know, that's ideal environment for them to grow on if it gets wet. Right. Yes, sir.
Each classroom was tested for air quality?
Most classrooms, right. Yes. Quite a few classrooms.
Thank you.
Not all classrooms.
Why?
We had a list of all the classrooms that basically anybody that experienced any issues or concerns.
There were a bunch that weren't, that
ours,
didn't need it.
We even interviewed with you and ours was not tested for it.
And my room is right next to hers.
Mm-hmm.
The room that you keep showing, that my room is next to it and nothing's been checked.
It's representative. I mean, your room is probably gonna be representative. If we collect one sample in one area, it's gonna be representative of that area. But we can come back and collect some additional samples.
Then you have to extrapolate and assume that it is far more pervasive than what you're reporting here. And if you don't look to see, you're not going to find anything. That's a foregone conclusion.
Again, we have not finished our assessment. And you keep saying that. We have not finished our assessment yet. We finished the first phase of it. Okay. Based on all the information we received, based on the symptoms and so on, you know, we wanted to just start get something done. We didn't want to just wait. So based on our first assessment, that's what we discovered, and that's what we're taking care of. Now we're going to go back and do some more investigation.
What does the asterisk mean next to some
of the
numbers?
That's the dilution. How much they had to dilute it to be able to read it. So again, you see, it's 40, only one of them was 100, and that's compared to the exterior air sample. Now again, that can change daily. That can change. You can collect air samples in the morning, go back in the afternoon, and collect more samples, and it's different, okay? That's just a snapshot in time. But it's enough to tell us, okay, something is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to look further. And that's exactly what we've discovered here, that yes, there is something going on. We need to investigate further. Okay? So these air samples are very helpful to us. If you know how to read them, interpret them, they are very helpful to us. Yes? It could be. Absolutely, yes.
And at the end of the day, it typically would be lower. Is that like a possible?
It shouldn't be that much difference. No. But again, you can come from one day to the next and it's going to be different. Just like outdoor. You can sample outdoor, and that's why we always take it outdoor on the same day. We cannot even do it the next day because it's going to be completely different outdoor. So, again, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Amy, did you say something?
I just thought you had talked about the schedule being changed.
Yeah,
we're going to go over that. Yes, we'll discuss that. Okay. So, we are making some changes. So, again, I just want to explain to you, you're always going to see the first two columns are the exterior samples, and then we average them. Okay. And then we compare everything to that average. So that's how we interpret these samples. So we also did some swab sample, and we discovered that it's low Aspergillus penicillium, high Creutzfeldt, rare Cladosporium, and low Stachypotrus.
And just to confirm, even at long exposures at those levels can make somebody sick, correct?
If it's in the air.
Okay.
Okay, these are the wipe samples that we collected.
But you haven't tested.
But they can go in there.
Absolutely, yes, they
okay.
can.
And was this the room that didn't have the vent?
Yes.
Yes.
The air conditioner is working. It's only the exhaust fan that was not working.
Okay. So it's down there.
So that's not going to affect any of our air samples here. Okay, that's completely different.
Yeah, so I don't know of any other air vents in the bathroom.
So this is the exhaust fan. In the bathroom, every bathroom here has got an exhaust fan. It's usually over the toilet.
No.
Okay, so I think most do. But in those classrooms, it did. And that fan for those bathrooms in 138, the bathrooms that 138 uses, that exhaust fan, that motor was not working. So it was not even in there.
So it wasn't pulling anything out.
Right. That's right, yes.
Did you guys buy a new fan, or did you take one from another room in the building?
The room didn't replace the one. We took the one actually from Amy's conference room to get one in there right away because we couldn't get one right away. I believe they put that one in there, and then we replaced Amy's.
Thank you, Amy, for that. We appreciate it.
above my desk.
It's right above the desk.
Yeah.
So if you have these things going on, and it's supposed to have a fan above her desk.
No, it's not above her desk. It's in the bathroom.
There's one above my desk.
The blower is. The blower is above the bathroom.
But it sucks just from the bathroom.
Yeah.
The air conditioning going in your room.
Not how it's explained to me. I'm sorry.
The supply for air conditioning, so that we're turning outside air over into the classroom and conditioning it. Those are working fine. It was just the exhaust fan for your bathroom. So when you complained of sewer smell, typically, if we're getting a sewer smell, sometimes it's an exhaust fan that's not exhausting the air in the bathroom.
And can that be poisonous and cause illness?
At certain levels, sure.
Okay. That would have to be pretty high. Again, we're mainly concerned about sewer gas. The smell, the odor, the threshold of odor is very, very low for sewer gas, much lower than any toxic effect. So you're not going to be staying there if this it reaches that level.
Mm-hmm. So with high CO2 levels that kind of came back, or at least, and maybe you'll say it isn't high CO2, I'm going to wait and see.
Yes, we're going to get to that in just a minute.
Okay, then I will wait. Thank you.
Okay, so these are the comfort parameters.
Here we go.
Okay, showing the CO2 level. And again, that's not all of them. We'll just show you an excerpt here. But as you can see, we usually like it to be below 1,000. If it's above 1,000, then it's a little bit too high. I know some of the portables, we got significantly higher level.
And what was the reason for skipping classrooms in this test?
Again, we just sampled as many as we can initially.
My room was just completely skipped from there. Yeah.
Yeah. We sampled in a lot of rooms.
Quick question.
So if there's something missing in here,
135 is not in this report.
If something that room isn't in here, we've been trying to keep track of the rooms when we've gotten the report to make sure they've all been seen.
Now, again, with the CO2 samples, that's going to be reflective of the whole area, basically. That zone that air conditioner is supplying. Okay.
Again, we're connected. Her room was only at 1,180. Mine was at 1,300. How is that possible?
It depends on how many students you have in the room that day.
Or it could be if a door is open or not. Like you open the door for a little while, that bends it a little bit. Those will function.
Yeah, we're not allowed to have our doors open.
Facilities doesn't know that.
So we were free in the air all day together due to safety concerns.
That's
why I was curious how,
It's strictly dependent on the number of students you have in the classroom. Of course, the CO2 is given by the people in the classroom.
So I have more kids, so that doesn't make sense.
No, unless it's
a leak. We don't know. Again, between 1,100 and 1,300, it's only 200 parts per million difference. It's not really that significant.
Pure curiosity, I was,
sure.
That's all.
Yeah. So again, we don't like to see it that high. We like to see it lower. So, of course, we contacted Georgie, and they're taking, and we're going to go over what we're going to do about that. Okay.
So we just need more fresh air in the building.
Exactly. Yes.
But we'll talk a little bit about that. But there is limitations to what we can do, and so we'll talk a little bit about that.
Are
so
these we have levels from exhale, or could it be levels from something else?
No, that's strictly CO2. Strictly from the individuals in the room exhaling. Yeah. Now, we have to be also careful how much fresh air we bring in, okay? Because fresh air, you bring in everything in with it. You bring in pollen, you bring in fungal spores, you bring in a lot of things, you bring in humidity and so on. So we have to have a very fine balance between how much fresh air we bring in to be able to keep that CO2 level down but not introduce too much moisture in the room.
But there are filters for that too.
Not for the moisture level. Then you have to install the humidifiers and so on.
About all the allergens and stuff.
Okay, now, mold is very, very small particles. Okay, fungi, again, they're 10 micron in size. So unless you have like a HEPA filter in the air conditioned unit, okay, it's not really going to stop all the spores. Okay. So again, we just have to be careful how much fresh air. We cannot just completely open it up and introduce a lot of fresh air in. It's going to be a problem as well. So again, we did discover that there are some areas that we did have elevated the CO2 level, and that may cause the headaches. That's usually when you tell us that you're working all day and you start developing headaches, you're tired, and so on.
Were those tests done with students in the classroom, or were they done without students in the classroom?
Oh, no, they have to be done with the students in the classroom.
Okay, just checking. Thank you.
Whatever we're experiencing is first thing in the morning, and it's bad. It's chokiness, it's headaches, it's pressure, it's bulging eyes, it's ear pain. So it's something in the morning. And if that's not CO2, it has to be something else.
No. If it's first thing in the morning, it won't be CO2. But again, there's other things we discovered, you know, all the stuff that we're going through, that can also cause some of those symptoms. And first thing in the morning, that's usually associated with the air condition being down at night. And then when you turn it on in the morning, it's going to be blowing.
Yeah, can we talk about that, about the air conditioning schedule off
hours? Let me finish, and then we're going to talk about that.
And also in the summer?
Yeah, okay. We're going to definitely talk about that. Okay. So again, we discovered that it is high. The temperature is good, but the CO2 level is high, especially in the portables. It was pretty high. So again, we're going to change the schedule completely of how long those units are running and how much fresh air we're introducing into the building and the portables. We did test for dust mites, and the only reason we test for dust mites because several individuals in the building experienced rashes, and dust mite causes what we call systemic dermatitis. So we just wanted to eliminate that. We tested for that, and we normally test for the allergens from these dust mites, TERV1 and TERF1, and those came back pretty low. So the only thing we recommended there is just periodically, you know, clean up around the desks, make sure that you remove everything on the floor so the cleaning people can clean up properly around the desk. But we don't think that's really an issue.
They don't know.
So action items, what are we going from here? So first, cleaning up all the air handler units and all the associated ductwork for those units.
Do you have a timeline for all this too?
It should be finished by the next, well, not all, I'll take each one individually.
Okay. Thank you.
So all the air handlers should be finished by next week. Okay, and we are here to watch to make sure that they're properly cleaned. And this should be in your report. This slide should be in your report.
Yeah, you've got everything there.
It's in the conclusion.
In the conclusion, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing Jim's showing here today that you don't have in your paper copies, so you got it. You don't have to worry about taking a picture. You got it.
Right. So again, those are going to go through an extensive cleaning, not just the standard cleaning that they usually receive. They're going to go through where we're going to take out the blower fan. We're going to clean up the housing of the units. We're going to clean up the vibration collar and so on. Extended runtime of the HVAC beginning and end of the day. So we're going to run it longer. We're going to start it earlier in the day, and we're going to let it run longer at night. Okay. So especially early in the day. This specific slide I don't think is in.
No, it's
not. Just
in
the recommendation section.
There are no action items. There's no time.
Yeah. My apologies for that. I will send this email to Amy tomorrow, and then she can forward it out to you. It's our action steps.
Are we allowed to release that?
Well, it's public information, is it?
Okay.
Yes, public information.
I would hope that it would be a clear action plan. Here's what we're going to do. Here's when we're going to do it. This is going to be here. This is going to be there. So we have an idea of how long it's going to take for this to come to fruition.
We'll talk through each one of those items that we're working on right now. So Jim's working with the air handler company that's doing the cleaning, and so Jim's got to, like I said, the next week or so, we should be done with most of that.
Right,
so,
what about further assessment?
So again, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We do want to wait until we finish all our assessment, because that may take a while. We want to address these issues right away. And that's why we stopped and said, okay, let's look at what we got so far. Let's address these issues, and then we're going to go back and do some additional assessment. Okay. Again, we wanted to do something right away. We don't want to just wait on it, especially what we found here. Yes, ma'am.
Along with all the cleaning of the building and the cleaning room, what about the items in the classroom, too? The desks and the chairs and the toys and all the blocks and stuff. And will they be using some kind of special chemical to wipe those down? The mold can be on surfaces too, correct?
Yeah, only if they got wet. So hopefully these surfaces are on. If they're not wet, then you shouldn't have any mold growing on it.
There's spores. Yeah, I actually want to back off of that. So yeah, if the spores are in the air, then yes, they can land
truly anywhere.
Yeah, but they need moisture to grow.
Correct.
Okay, that's the most important thing for mold is moisture.
All day long.
What's that?
They have water bottles all day long.
And I'm not sure how familiar you are with small children, like kindergarten, first, second. They are gross kids. I love my child. They're disgusting.
Amen.
And they do spill water on things, and they do put their hands in their mouth, and they do get things wet on the table, and the things, and some of them still put toys in their mouth. So yes, some of these surfaces are wet, and if that is during, if these items are wet during a time of high humidity and high spore exertion, then yes, those spores are going to be on surfaces and in different areas of the classroom.
We can do some swab samples on some of these surfaces to make sure, but usually that's not what finds the spores growing. You know, usually it's drywall, ceiling tile, under carpet, things like that. Now, we do find them on books sometimes if the books stay wet, and we do inspect books. We look sometimes couches and things like that, you know, so, but we'll be looking further into that. We're going to increase the amount of outdoor air intake into the building and the portables.
Yeah, so in terms of timeline, right? So these two items here, extended run times, HVAC, beginning and end of day, that's already happening, right? So we're running earlier, we're running later, we're running as long as we possibly can right now at Garden Elementary in all of our spaces. We're not shutting down. Typically, we shut down an hour after. We usually start about an hour before. We've extended those as far as we can go. So we're trying to flush the building more. In addition,
I want to be clear about what I just heard. You shut the air conditioning down an hour after and
district-wide. I'll talk to that in a minute. So we are now running as long as we possibly can. District-wide, let's so you know, every building in Sarasota County Schools, and this is typical of every school district, we run our AC when we need to because we're trying to conserve energy too, right? So there's a balance in all that. So what our current strategy typically is we start about an hour ahead of time before teachers get on campus. That's when we start running HVAC, and then we run throughout the day, and then usually it's an hour after bell time we shut down, except for where we've got different schedules, so we got after school, something like that going on. District-wide, that's what we do everywhere. We are not concerned about, when we're shut down, typically we're not concerned about temperature, we're concerned about humidity. And so we put monitors. We've done this for years. We put monitors here and there throughout the summer, whenever we're shut down, to make sure we're controlling humidity, but we're not so much concerned about temperature. So that's what we do district-wide. Here, because, again, we want to try and flush the buildings, we're open that up as far as we possibly can. That's already happened. Number two, outside air intake, right? And Jeff can talk to this. So we are limited with our older systems on how much outside air they can bring in. We are a max outside air in all of our buildings here right now. They made those adjustments already. The system is doing all it can do to bring in all the outside air it possibly can. And then we are going portable by portable. Portables are different. They're not as efficient as bringing outside air, but they are maxed out too. So we've had our technicians on every one of these units, and we are bringing in all the outside air we possibly can into the building.
So when it does have high humidity, which is, I gotta think that's a lot, is there an auto kick on for the HVAC to relieve it, or does someone have to be monitoring it and then turn it on?
Yeah, so we have energy managers in the district that kind of monitor. We have remote monitors we put in buildings and watch that. Typically, on the weekends, and we come on midday. So we come on, dehumidify midday, bring humidity back down, and then we shut back down. So that's how
over
we.
The summer, same
yeah,
thing.
Same thing over the summer.
Okay.
Yep. That's
they
what we
have
just
to
watch.
Stay on throughout the summer. We cannot completely shut them off.
So does this building have a humidity stat?
We have several we've installed. We call them hobo readers. They're in a lot of these rooms now at this point so that Jeff's team can watch two things, temperature, make sure, because we also monitor temperature remotely. We can see all of that. But then CO2. We also can watch CO2 remotely, and so we're constantly trying to watch that now to make sure we're trying to get those levels down.
Last week.
In older buildings, and this is across the district, right? Older design systems did not monitor CO2. They just didn't. When the new building we're putting in, all the new systems by code, there's a CO2 monitor. It goes in the return ductwork, and we monitor CO2. So as we upgrade systems across the district, that comes into play. But in buildings where they were built in the 70s,
We did not monitor CO2. That's just, it is what it is. And so the new building will have all of that technology. That's why we try to invest in upgrading technology and HVAC systems and buildings when we can.
Don't you think that's kind of a problem, though? Like, you guys know that's a problem, and so you should have went back and corrected.
Well, we didn't know it was a problem, but now that we do, we're going to watch it. No, we don't.
Why not?
We don't have the capability to. Our systems can't do it.
This is somebody, lives. These are human lives. This is my life, my children. I have children that
are
come
we,
to this
school. So CO2, right? So CO2 is something that our systems are designed to maintain a CO2 level that's acceptable at the design time, right? So whenever the school was built, that's the standards we're built to, right? If we have a problem, if we have issues, then we put some remote systems in. But what I'm saying is, our older schools, and this is...
So there's not going to be a problem in the
school. Can I clarify something on that?
That's not what I'm
the
saying.
The CO2 level that we're detecting, that's for comfort. We call it comfort parameters. These are not toxic level. The OSHA standard for CO2 is 5,000 parts per million.
You're way under that.
Yeah, you're way under that. But at these levels, you're just going to feel, again, you may experience some of the headaches that you're experiencing. You may experience tired by the end of the day. So that's why we call them comfort parameters,
comfort.
Not toxic levels.
Those comfort
me at night. But we're talking about young, developing bodies and brains here mm-hmm. that are being negatively impacted by this.
Okay. And I just had excruciating headaches, like really bad.
3 years this has been going
all
on
last
since
year.
And took three weeks ago this started.
I thought
it started.
I took them to therapy.
Well, again, a lot of this started right away. As soon as we discovered something, they were on it. Well, no, that a lot of this was already corrected. We've been doing the assessment for 3 weeks, but a lot of this, what we discovered, was pretty much corrected immediately. Again, the fan for the exhaust, that was corrected immediately.
We took it took it from the principal's office to put in her classroom.
Well, that's because we wanted to... Yeah. We want to do something immediately. Okay,
we have to
order it.
The
What's
portables
that?
Are really high, and that's where my son is. What about the CO2 and portables?
They have been adjusted to the max that we can bring in for portables.
But if it's
so, what is
not
that max?
Good.
Well, we're going to sample.
Let's not talk arbitrary.
So we'll,
let's
so
talk
we're
going to
resample and we'll see where we are. Absolutely,
yes.
But remember, so when you're talking about CO2. We just had this conversation at Sarasota High, right?
Yeah.
Sarasota High, we just remodeled those buildings. They were older buildings, older systems. We just remodeled those buildings. And we are seeing CO2 levels where we got full classrooms around 1,100, 1,200 in buildings, right? Brand new system. And when we talk about CO2 and trying to drive that lower, if you look at what the levels are for acceptability, they're up 5,000-6,000 parts per minute. So when you're talking down at the levels you are now, it's just difficult to get it lower, especially where you've got kids, a lot of kids in classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing everything we can to bring in as much outside air as we possibly can, given our current state of systems.
No, and I get that. I just think that if a kid can experience headaches, then they're not going to be focused on their work, which means they're not going to be
well
in school, which means, I mean, there's a cascading effect.
If we can
so
drive,
something as small as that has a cascade.
If we can drive those down
mm-hmm.
into the 800-900 levels, that's our goal, absolutely.
We're already there.
Yeah. And again... They are opening them as much as possible. We have not done follow-up sampling yet. We're waiting until all the corrective actions are taken, cleaning up the units, you know, open them as much as possible and so on. And then we're going to go back and retest for both the comfort parameters and mold and so on. So that's going to be follow-up testing. And if we still find it high, then we're going to look for other corrective measures.
And you mentioned something that, I can't remember what you call them, the little...
Hobo monitors, yeah.
Hobo monitors, okay. Do you have... separate monitors for the level of what's it called? Lost it completely.
CO2?
No. The mold.
No. So mold is a
very no. The water.
Moisture.
Relative
humidity.
Yeah, we're watching humidity on those two.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Same monitors?
Mm-hmm.
You just put them in though.
Yeah.
So you weren't monitoring
the system
humidity.
The system you gotta remember, this system was built in 1972. Those systems back then did not monitor those parameters. Our new systems do.
But industry standards changed from 1972 to 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't the school system keep up with industry norms?
So we do, right? And so.
But we didn't.
Well, we do. We
but
try
you
to
didn't.
Work. So when we have a system that's out of date, we try to replace it, right? And we're funded to try and do that.
The district can't replace. That's like saying in your home you're going to replace your AC.
But why can't we put monitors? I'm not saying you have to redo the whole AC system.
We do have monitors in place.
A week ago. A week ago, 2025.
If we've been talking about monitoring over the summer when you shut off the AC for the entire summer. During,
no, we don't. We run every day. We just don't run the full day.
During the rainy season here and the hurricane season here, any snowbird would tell you, you don't go away and turn it down and ignore it because you will come back to a huge.
So don't misinterpret what I'm saying. We don't ignore it. There are people. There are people.
I'm clarifying.
There are people. Okay, thank you. There are people in the buildings all the time. We have energy managers who are in our buildings doing inspections all the time. They do and go into portables in the summer. Yes, they do.
They go in there, but I don't think I've been out here all year round.
It's not. It cycles on and cycles off, right? And so. And so we are in buildings all the time. If we have an issue, we put additional monitors to see what's going on. We try and make corrections from there. But we do shut down for a good part of the day over the summer. We have always done that. We do that district-wide. That is a standard in most school districts.
And before a week ago, we had no monitoring for CO2 and humidity. Is that what I heard?
That's what he just said.
Yeah. So
just want to clarify, on the record, that's what you're saying.
That's what I want to do.
What I'm going to say is anytime.
On the record, yes or no.
Anytime we had a complaint where we had an indoor air quality issue, so a teacher says, it's too hot in my room, or it is too humid in my room, or there's an issue with whatever's going on in the room, we come in, we verify temp, humidity. So yes, but daily, ongoing monitoring, true monitoring all the time, the system's not capable of that, the new ones are. But when we have a problem, yes, our technicians come in. That's the parameters they're looking for, comfort parameters right away. If we get an indoor air quality concern, that's the first thing our internal inspectors do. Humidity in the room, visual inspections, temperature of the room. We put a hobo logger in place so we can watch trending data when the system starts and cools back off and then warms back up. We watch that. So I'm trying to clarify. Our new systems watch that in every classroom all day long, all the time. The new building will do that. That's just the capability of new systems.
Okay, but the reality is now we have, this has been, since Ian was 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and there were problems there. There was rain coming in, water intrusion, and here we are 3 years later. These kids have been in this school for, 3 years? And now the promise is maybe 2 years later, five? Did you go through fifth grade? Yeah. So there will be kids leaving this school that have had to experience this their entire the promise of having this brand new school down the road doesn't help them one iota. They need mediation now.
And that's what you're getting. We are doing everything that Jim has recommended based on what he sees. So we are doing everything we can right now to remedy the situations. We're monitoring CO2 where we need to. We're monitoring temperature. We are making the corrective actions as recommended by them. So when you say remediation, Jim, is there anything else I can do at this point?
Not right now until we finish our assessment. I mean, that we're...
How long is the timeline?
Okay. The rest of the assessment probably going to start next week. Okay.
Probably.
Hold on, we got a question back here. Go ahead.
The rooms that came up with the elevated CO2 levels and it was suggested fresh air intake, how is that going to be fixed?
So we've already done that in all those rooms. Jeff, you want to talk through about how we do that?
We lowered, right now, school thresholds, we were targeting 1,000 parts per million for CO2. Okay. If it went above 1,000, we brought in fresh air. We have lowered that CO2 threshold down to 200 parts per million. Okay, he's getting readings outside in the 300-400 range. So we are maxed out on our fresh air, and we have done that with the temps on the portables. We've also had the data loggers in there, and we're running an average.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I would ask specifically to room 136. How did you do that in my room?
Is this school or portable?
In school.
It's in the school. It's one of those.
Through the BAS.
Right behind.
Yeah.
Building automation.
So they open up the outside air dampers as far as they possibly can.
Ventilation.
Yeah. So there's so basically there's ductwork that goes outside that we suck in from, and there's dampers in there.
I would like to know what the new level is because mine was.
We're gonna do that. Absolutely. We're gonna go back in and retest.
We're gonna follow up on all that. We just want to take care of some of the issues that we discovered first. You know, we get those out of the way. And then we're gonna go back and do some more assessments.
So okay. There's 17 locations located
on page 2 stating that they need remedial action. So I was just wondering when that will be taking place.
Okay. Which locations are you talking about?
There's 17 rooms located, 11 right here and 7 portables.
There's room numbers listed.
Is that for, what was that for?
Okay, so that's exactly what we're doing. So when we go in and we get the, we are servicing every air handler that services this building. That's addressing that, okay? Outside air, that's addressing that. That has been taken care of for this entire building. All of these are addressing this entire building. Let's talk about carpet. The other thing we haven't talked about yet is carpet. And we're gonna go get as much carpet we think as possible this summer. At the end of the day, because we had an issue here before with carpet and because we have some staining on carpet, I'm just not real comfortable leaving carpet in here. So our goal is, we just got our quote the other day, it won't happen until over summer, there's just no possible way. But we're gonna remove as much carpet as possible and we're gonna go back with some kind of roll sheet good so there's no carpet in the building as much as possible. That makes it easier for the custodians to clean, make sure there's not dust buildup. And so we're gonna do that over the summer. And so next year, in the time frame until we get into our new building, we're not worried about dust mites and carpets. That's all gone. We're going to do hard roll flooring. So that will happen over the summer, and that'll be every space we possibly can get to.
Because this was talking about the amplification of the biological.
Yes.
So what?
That could be mainly from the air conditioning unit.
Yeah.
And that's why we're going through and cleaning up all the air handler units. Extensive cleaning of the air
vents. So the remediation for those rooms listed is cleaning the air vents?
So far, yes.
So what may be helpful is as those air vents are cleaned, maybe we could get an update, so then we can pass that along to the staff so they know that these portables were done at this, this evening or additional testing. We can maybe keep everyone in the order as progress is made.
We can do a daily update, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going back to the mold found in 138. This is my girl's teacher, and they were in there. So what is the process to test like that level, the rest of the school, to possibly find a reservoir?
That's what we're going to be doing next.
So what's the timeline for that?
Because that's what I'm saying. We should be starting that next week.
And then how long will it take?
It'll probably take us a whole week. I mean, that's a big school.
Right.
It's going to take us a while. There's a lot of investigation. It's not an easy process to go through.
And if you find more or you find a larger reservoir of the black mold, what are we looking at?
We're going to remediate right away.
Is there reason to believe that with what you found, there's enough concern about having staff and students in the school? I think that's the question that keeps going on.
We have not found anything excessively high that we would be concerned enough.
Given the dry environment.
Mm-hmm. In the dry environment, yes.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Even in room 138?
Well, room 138, we did not find any elevated level, but we did find in the spores in the wall itself.
But you said long-term exposure can make people sick. I want to clarify that. Long-term exposure, even at a low level, can make people sick.
It depends on the concentration. Okay.
Yes. Can you provide us with what would be a standard to say that this is a large reservoir? Because I'm just curious as to what that number would be or what that assessment would look like. So I understand if you're currently working on it, it's going to take time. I get that with science, you got to cut the hole out of the wall, you got to take the swab, you got to send it off to get it tested. I know that it's not going to be, we're not going to get an answer today, but I really want to know what level or what number I would like something to reference to come back and say, this is the results we got, and being that you have already said, this is the level in which we say, hey, this is bad, everybody's gotta get out, or we're still safe, and this is my expert opinion that we can stay in here. And
it changes for each type of mold. Each type of mold has different effects and different levels. Again, we don't really have a level that says, okay, at this level, if you go above that, you're gonna make people sick. If you're below that, there's no standard or threshold like that. They have not been able to come up with something like that because there's so much variability in people's resistance to mold.
So how about this? How about, it would be great. I think what everybody's asking for you to identify a number or a threshold in which you would no longer be comfortable with your own child or grandchild, or daughter working in this building, or son or family member being in this building from 7 or 8 in the morning until 5 o'clock at night. We want to know what that threshold looks like
And that's really all we're asking for is the transparency for that. So that way when the reports do come out, we can say, okay, we've had this conversation. We see what you said. We're taking your expert opinion because you're asking us to trust you. And that is very hard to do. And so being able to provide us with that sort of threshold or level would really, honestly, give a lot of trust back.
Okay. So again, I just want to clarify the levels that we found. When we say like 40 colony forming units per meter cube, that's like three or four spores in the air. And it just happened that on the exterior, I'll be with you in just a minute. On the exterior that day, that was a very low level. You can come back the next day and find a much higher level on the exterior, and then the interior will show that it's normal.
What if it was 100?
What's that? Yeah, one of them is 100, correct.
150. When, what, that's what we're asking for, is the number.
What number?
What is the number?
I think what he's trying to tell you is scientifically there is not a number.
Exactly, yes. We can't really tell you.
And that what you have to go on is how symptomatic you are. Is your doctor telling you that is unsafe work environment for your body?
Well,
if there's no number,
not exactly,
it would be dangerous.
If we found any amplification, we don't want to eliminate it. Okay, we're not going to wait for that. We're trying to eliminate it as much as possible.
But I think we're already at that point, sir. And it's not your fault.
No. Yeah,
you're responsible for doing the investigation.
Yeah,
we're at
we appreciate you.
Point.
We want
to. Teachers are so sick that we are being referred to all kinds of specialists,
mm-hmm.
spending thousands.
I know. I've talked to a lot of people.
Out of pocket.
And we're trying to move as fast as we can.
My poor child, into thinking that she was fine, and that her symptoms of headache and sore throat and stomach ache when she was coming home from school were because she wasn't eating healthy enough or drinking enough water. Even though she's telling me, "No, mommy, I drank my water. I filled it up today. I drank a second one. I ate all my lunch. I didn't eat any sweets today." I gaslit my six-year-old child because she's getting sick here at school. And that, to me, is causing more damage than anything else because I'm not trusting my child, and you're asking me to trust you. And I understand, again, I know that you are here to do that assessment, so I guess more specifically, I'm looking to you guys, and Jody, wherever he went, you're asking us to trust you, but you're not being transparent with us in really what you're doing going forward. I know you can't fix what happened, and I'm so sorry for all of these teachers that have been exposed. We can't fix what happened in the past, but we can fix what is going on forward. And the answer was, well, we'll provide the teachers with updates of what the results are. Cool. But what about us parents?
Yeah.
How do I know if I would be willing to send my child down here next year?
I choose
to come to this school, and I'm district for a different school up in Sarasota.
Now, my son has been hospitalized three times now.
Can we
for
just take
exacerbation
this question?
Of asthma.
She has
okay.
a question.
It's okay. This is important.
Yeah, it's important.
I only found out about this situation today because I was lucky enough for someone to share that information with me. And so that's very frustrating because I've done the same exact thing, gaslit my child. Mm-hmm. That's unacceptable. And again, I'm looking at you, but it's not yours. You're here to fix the problem, and I understand that.
Absolutely. No, we appreciate
but,
it. Thank you.
But this is just, it's unfair. It's
I
not
can
fair.
We're doing everything we can. I mean, the inspections we're doing here is a very exhaustive inspection. We're crawling inside the air handler units. We're opening the walls. We're going way beyond what we normally would do in a school.
How many walls did you actually open?
One.
Mine. No. There's more than one.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
How many?
No. I can't recall right. No, more than that.
It
we looked
says
at several
one on this
areas.
Page, and then the carpet was lifted.
Yeah.
Only
yeah,
the carpet was lifted beneath the other stuff.
There were two walls.
And then there was another wall. There was another wall in one of the custodial's office that they said that they had leak in the past. So we opened up that wall as well.
Did you find it there too?
No, there was nothing there.
What warrants the destructive testing, I think, is the question. Why, what indicator is...
The history of the building. That's what we look for. That... You know, they tell us that in the past we had water leaks, we had more water intrusion, either coming through the doors, coming through the ceiling, coming through whatever.
So
then, based on that.
Testing, you talked about the exterior doors and vestibules. Are there other rooms with that historical knowledge that there are plans for additional destructive testing?
we'll have to go back and look at everything that we have so far. Of course, we want to do some more investigation in the rooms where we got elevated level of mold. We want to see if there's anything else that could be other than the air handler unit.
Because if you don't look, you're not going to find anything.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
That's
absolutely.
The bottom line.
Like you said,
and
it's a big school.
Yeah.
So can any of you provide us with what this is going to look like going forward then, or how we're going to get the information of what areas have been tested?
Well, I'm with daily updates been shared with Sarah, so.
Okay.
We are providing them daily. After today, the next step is providing an email with what you will be doing.
We are very transparent with our work, you know. We make everything available to you, so you know exactly what's going on.
Do you offer the EMMA test? A lot of air quality companies do the EMMA test for air quality, mycotoxins, and mold assessment.
Okay. Those tests are very difficult, and they tell you very little, because they're testing for mycotoxins, endotoxins, and to, you know, what we're looking for is the mold. If the mold is there, we want to eliminate it. And that's going to eliminate any mycotoxins, endotoxins, and so on.
But they're already there.
This is the problem. I don't know if it was shared from you, from Jody, because they were sent to him. I have tested positive for trichomycotoxins. That's a group of
nine mycotoxins
in my system. Mm-hmm. It cannot get out of my system if it's not detoxed. So it is a struggle to find a doctor who will do that. I've been searching. And that comes from black mold. Likewise, one of the students in my classroom is also tested positive for mycotoxin, gliotoxin, which comes from the Aspergillus penicillium mixture.
And these are $500 tests, mm-hmm. out of pocket.
And I know we're saying it's not dangerous, but there's no other place that we could have gotten them because we've had our homes mold tested. So we're getting them from the classroom. And we're sick. I'm really sick.
Two people in the same class
are really sick. My daughter's really sick. So, been to multiple doctors. Nobody can help her. Mm-hmm. Nobody can tell us what's wrong. And this is the only thing that they have in common. Is this
Okay. So I know you're saying it's not safe, but
endotoxin, mycotoxins, these are different types of tests. And the whole purpose here is eliminate the source. Okay. We can test for a lot of other things, but we're just focusing on eliminating the source. That's what we're looking for. The source is going to be the mold.
Yeah. Do you provide, since we only have 3 weeks of school left, packets for students to finish at home to keep them at home for the rest of the year?
Packets, as in
to finish
work
school.
Packet?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be up to me.
So who would we go to for that?
If she wants to provide it. I mean, where we facilities will be providing updates on what we've been doing.
But I hear already 2 weeks at least.
Mm-hmm. We only have 3 weeks left of school. I already pulled my kid out of school because she's been pulled out so many times. The office staff can tell you, I've been at the school at least 3 times a week for the whole school year, bringing her meds every day. Like, something's gotta get. It's not fair. My kid is sick
Are
all
you
the time.
Asking for if the absences can be excused enough?
No, my kid has notes for everything. What I'm saying is, it sucks that I had to physically remove my child from this school.
From a year of kindergarten.
A five-year-old. And we can't figure out what's wrong with her. She's asking me what's wrong with her. Again, gaslighting my kid and saying, are you sure you're having the stomach pain? Are you sure this isn't psychological? She's in therapy. She's seeing different specialists. Nobody can help her. The only doctors I can measure
is expensive. Out of pocket. Can't pay for it. Like,
don't accept insurance.
She has to be detoxed. We're doing everything we can at home. Like, it's not, I'm sure it's not just my kid. Right. And these tests are really freaking expensive.
Actually, as a matter of fact, I didn't even know that there was a problem at this school.
That's what I was saying, too. I didn't even know until today.
I stuck my kid in therapy last year. I thought he wasn't getting along with his teacher. Told him he was stressing himself out. I had to miss
So you guys can't sit here and tell me that it's not the school.
By the way. My kid and I work here. All three of my children, four of my children go here.
You guys can't tell me that this is not the one common denominator. That makes absolutely no sense.
Mycotoxins are from mold, and the molds that create it are present in my classroom.
You also have two people that work on staff that their doctors have personally recommended that they leave this building. Yeah. So I would like somebody from the school district to tell me how you're going to handle that situation. And if you have physicians telling teachers and administrators that they can't work in this building, what about the poor students that are kids? What are you guys going to do about that? Because if a physician tells you you can't work in that building, you should not work in that building. Okay, well, it's happening. I can promise you that. So I hope you guys have a plan because that's coming next.
Well, we do have a plan.
For that particular thing. Because if a physician advises somebody not to go there, they can no longer continue to work in that environment. And can we have the facilities manager maybe join us and get off his phone? Because I will tell you, what he said to me on the phone was absolutely rude. And again, we would like you to be a part of this. This is really important. We're talking about kids. And
yeah, what could possibly be more important on this phone at this certain moment?
I have a question that I think is critical to this whole thing.
Yes.
You, early on, referred several times to
Unreal.
The minute we found a problem, notified the school board took care of it. Who in the school board did you talk to about this?
Well, we talked to Melissa Millie, is our first contact.
Okay. I apologize. So you really didn't talk to anybody on the school board, or
I talked to the school board and superintendent and we forward, so the report you guys got, they already have, right? So we make sure if we are getting information, we try to let the school board know first. So if you're going to call them, parent, you know, people call them, they at least got the report in front of them, so that they're aware of what's going on.
Did you hear my question earlier?
When physicians,
at least I can tell you, two employees that work here have told them not to return back to the building because it's unsafe for them.
Okay.
Because based on the mycotoxin test and your reports that you have sent, the physician has said that you either need to transfer to another building. So are they supposed to just quit their job that they poured their heart and soul into in their whole careers? Or are you guys going to take care of those employees?
So here's what I would say. So again, as Jim has said, we can't comment. We're not medical experts, but they've got the data, right?
Somebody needs to answer that question.
So I'm getting
it. They already have the medical experts.
Right. Yeah. So we've got the data. We've got the air quality.
And we have our data.
And so what if somebody's at a doctor and not feeling correctly, I would say make sure they bring the data that we collected in the school.
Which we did.
To their provider. Yeah.
And the response was, get them out of the facility as soon as possible.
So then what they need to do is call HR and talk to HR and risk management, and they already know what we're doing, and so they're aware of this. And so if anything, so that's an HR question, right? So I would say if there is an individual who's having health concerns and they've got some doctors that have looked at it and support that, call and talk to Lynn Peterson. They are. It's Lynn Peterson and risk management. Lynn Peterson in risk management is workers' comp. And then you can also talk to one of the reps in HR too, but probably it's Lynn Peterson in workers' comp.
And that's just the teachers. Imagine the students that are getting sick.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're saying wait until they're so sick that they're going to have to not be at work?
No, what I'm saying is we are not medical
professionals. Before they're going to do anything about it?
Hold on, no. We are addressing all the issues, right? We are remediating. We're working hard on everything that Jim has identified. What I'm saying is
3 years later.
Exactly.
Yeah, now because you don't have a choice.
Ma'am, all I can tell you is what we currently tested and where we are and what we're doing.
It's not his fault. This is directly on facilities.
Thank you.
The test in the first place, now that everybody is so sick.
Yeah, now you don't have a choice.
Here, I've been gaslighting my six-year-old because he comes home every single day and says he has a headache. And one, that's not normal for a six-year-old to have a headache. And I had no idea that this was even something that could possibly be the case. Why are we just now finding out that this is the case? I am so angry.
Well, I understand, but we just now have the testing to say this is where we are in the classroom environment. And that's the best we can do is say this is where we are.
Facilities has been notified since 2023.
And for every...
And now, 3 years later.
So for every time... Here's what I can say. For every time where we had an indoor air quality complaint, we have an associated response and report, which I can provide you all of.
And we did a basic test, but all of a sudden now, because the numbers got even larger, they were already large, mind you, but the numbers are so large you couldn't ignore the voices, so now we did destructive testing, which if we had, my point earlier, if we'd done them in 2023, would these people have gotten sick? Shame on you, shame on facilities, do a better job.
Thank you. Next. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
So you actually still haven't answered my question,
okay.
Which is, I'm looking for, as a parent, I'm looking for a threshold in which you can set a standard to, so that we can, I think you missed this portion because you were on the phone. Mm-hmm. So
how about, if we do this? Let me ask this question, because I don't think Jim is going to stand here and give you that threshold.
No, he's not, that's why I'm asking you.
I can't do it. Jim's more professional in this than I am. There is no, you cannot go out on the internet and find that level. It's just not out there from any professional.
I'm fully aware, I already did.
So here's what only thing I can commit to do. is that we will keep you informed every day of our progress. Anytime we take an additional test where we are doing air sampling, any of that stuff, as soon as Jim has the reports back on the room, we will forward it so you can take a look at it. Honestly, we can't give you a level because it's just not out there.
Yeah, and not just myself, but also the other parents that aren't aware that the situation is going on. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm here. You said I could give you my email. That's fabulous. But how is that information going to be distributed to the mass of those?
Well, and again, we will work with Amy in terms of what works best for the school. But what we will do is anytime we get any information on the status, updated on reports, updated testing, where we are on a nightly basis, anything we've done, we will give that to Amy. And however she feels that's the best way to get that to everybody, I'm sure she'll take care of that, right?
And so to include over the summer, like,
yeah, absolutely.
It does not mean that I don't want information anymore. I want to know that it's safe to send my child back here next year.
Absolutely.
Because right now, it does not feel safe to bring my child back here.
Absolutely. No, as we do anything over the summer, we will continue to update it. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, not even
do tomorrow. You were out of the room when I asked this. I'm not sure they knew. Do you have the ability to excuse absences for the rest of the year if we get a work packet to finish the school at?
I don't have that authority. That's something, if that starts to happen, we'll work with Amy and staff at the landings. I just don't have the authority to do that. I want to be honest with you.
Okay. So who do I call?
So work through the principal, yeah, okay? Right. And we will work with...
There is, you know, if we have results, yielded an action, and we're going to retest. So if we have information that shows we've identified a problem, we've addressed it, we're in a different situation, we would then be making decisions as we receive new information.
Absolutely.
But we don't have the new information now, so what about in the meantime?
We do have the information.
This is the most current testing.
You're saying that this is safe. This is essentially what you're saying. It's safe for our kids to be here because the results came back saying that these are within normal parameters, right?
I think from what I have heard and seen and know that it depends upon an individual's threshold. So if you have autoimmune or you're more sensitive to things or sustained, you know, exposure to things, it can have an effect.
Respectfully, I disagree.
Can I clarify that statement for a minute? Okay, we're not saying that it's safe that we're just going to let it go.
No,
okay,
not saying
we're
that.
Saying
no.
That
for
it's safe. Okay,
we're
saying that it's nothing high enough that we have to vacate the school or anything like that, but it definitely needs to be taken care of.
Is
the okay. I tell that to my son who's missed 8 weeks of school.
Is the school nurse knowing what's going on and available to identify signs of mycotoxins?
No, they're not qualified to do that.
Allowed to have a pulse ox or check vitals, so don't. That's
so we have. Yeah.
Yep. Yes, but that would require.
I mean, it might be not a bad idea to have a medical personnel on staff that knows what to look for.
Sir, I'm sorry. Do you have a question? Sorry.
Gotcha.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. There'll be more before that, right? We're not going to wait till August.
I'm talking before people come back in this building in August for the next.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you the.
Will they be transparent and relate to all the teachers?
Yeah, you got my word on that. Absolutely. Everything that we test, until so our goal, and Jim, correct me if I'm wrong.
I just want to make sure my wife's been out of work for 5 weeks now, and
yep.
She misses being here with these kids, and we need to get this fixed.
We will give you.
You're going to be transparent, but how come there isn't a plan in place as to how to do that? Because that has not been the case up until this point.
So everything we do on a daily basis, we will make sure your principal has it, and they will get that communicated out to you. So you've got my word.
Okay.
We will communicate daily what has been done.
The question isn't necessarily to you, because if you're communicating with the school, great. How is the school going to communicate with us? What is that going to look like so that we are, as the parents, as the staff who is in this building all day, every day, knowing what is actually going on without having to reach out for it? I mean, yes, all of this is public record. We can go and request it. Anybody can request it.
But you got it, right? And so it's you've got what
right,
we got, right?
Right.
So
unfortunately, we probably need to give her till Monday to come up with a plan for that. But yes, I 100% agree with what you're saying. I think that because we are putting this on, since we are putting this on.
Just
no, I'm not saying they aren't. I'm just saying we need to give some
the negligence with
Well,
can I say something to that?
Yes, yes.
We do have Thrill Share, so the meeting did go out, and I know personally that I also put it on Focus, okay. So it went out to the parents, so they do know.
Perfect.
So I think that it's what is it called that we have that it goes out? Like as a parent, I personally get an email and a text.
I think it's Thrill Share, yeah.
Yeah, so I get it every time, so they can set it up where it goes out like that every time.
That would be a great.
So I just think that might be the best way to go about it.
Sure, and so Amy, we're talking about communicating out the daily stuff, what's going on, and what we said is you guys probably need a day or two to figure out what's the best way to make sure that's going out to parents, and so.
And
that makes sense.
Work through the portal, send updates to the portal.
Yeah, sorry, hold on. I had committed to families who would offer a virtual option, and I told them that it would start at 5:30.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to log in, and the event people weren't able to
get
it.
So we'll work with your principal, I promise, to make sure that that is going out on a daily basis. So you got the information, okay? So here's what I'm going to say. Listen to me, it's getting late, so we will stay. But if you don't have any questions, we don't have any more material to present. You've got the reports. If you take a look at that over the next couple days, you got additional questions, you can email me or you can email Amy. She'll get it to me and we can try and respond. Jim can respond to you if you got individual questions. If you have more and you want to have more conversations one-on-one tonight or whatever, we're happy to do that too. But we're getting a little long, and if you want to go, you can.
You
yes, sir.
Card? Do you have a card or an email address? So we can get
yes,
yeah,
I do.
Send us the email out.
Amy's got it. I don't have a card on me tonight, but Amy's got it. Mine is basically, it's all of ours are sarasotacountyschools.net. It's Jody, J-O-D-Y, .Dumas. She can send it out to you, definitely. D-U-M-A-S. Yeah.
Again, I just want to clarify, this is the first step that we're doing. Okay, we are not finished by any means. But we did not want to wait until we finish and then start the corrective actions. You know, we've seen things that needs to be corrected now, right away. So we wanted to take care of those things first, and then we're going to go back and look some more. So I know you keep saying we looked at a small part. Yes, we did, but we're going to look at the larger portion.
Okay, you've only been at it for 3 weeks, and I understand.
Exactly, yeah. And
believe me, frustration here is this has been going on for
I know,
3 years.
But it's a pretty extensive study.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry,
yes.
One more really important question. I'm sure that you are fabulous at what you do. It looks great. Did my own research. However, have we considered, since we've used the same company every single time, on getting a second opinion just like you would for any sort of home inspection or things like that? I think in a world of science and things like that, it is always valuable to have a second opinion.
Here's what we'll do is, I'll commit to you when we get to the point that Jim has cleared it, we'll run that by a second contractor. We'll pull somebody else in and have them look at Jim's report.
Absolutely.
Just to say we've done everything.
Jim's
absolutely.
Report or actually come in and do a second.
We can bring them in for a walkthrough. And I'm not going to, I'll have them review the testing and have them come do a walk around and they can work with Jim to kind of get a peer review. We're absolutely happy to pay for
actually
that.
Actually, that's, and it should be an independent review, not a peer review, because anything that's science-based, when you are verifying something else, it needs to be an independent second opinion without an outside. Without
I'm with you. Yes, we will bring somebody in. If that is what people want, we'll bring everybody in to look at it again. Listen, we absolutely want to get to make sure we are doing everything we possibly can here. I think we're doing everything that Jim has recommended. I don't know anything else to do at this point. Our goal, when we talked about air quality testing, to get once we're getting through the summer, our goal is when we test outside air and we test inside air, we're under all of that. That's what we are working towards, and that's what we're going to continue to drive until we get to. Yes?
Yes. I had requested from, I think it's Melissa, a schedule of your maintenance, and then it got escalated to you, and you asked me to submit a public records report.
Yes, we almost have your stuff done. You asked for a lot of stuff. So what
well,
we're
initially, I was just looking for a spreadsheet.
Yeah, because you asked for, so, no, because you asked for so much stuff. We technically got to go through public records so they can log it. So that's we're working on that. The one that's taken us the longest, and I think we got it done, is the we're working on it today. We have to go through every invoice for the air.
The schedule?
No, so the filter changes. I'm sorry. So the filter changes, we got to go for 4 years. We got to go through every invoice and pull. They were here at Garden. They were here at Garden. So that was happening today. So I should be able to get that to you tomorrow. So I apologize. It's just a lot of data we have to pull for you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yes,
do
ma'am.
These findings, can these help Sarasota County kind of accelerate the construction schedule?
No, unfortunately, we are on the fast track as fast as we possibly can be on that construction project. We're about ready to break ground on it. Mm-hmm. It unfortunately just takes us about that long to build. We modified that construction schedule a little bit already to try and get in as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So, no, it is what it is.
So when is it supposed to open? What school year?
So it is winter, potentially winter of 2026, am I right? Yep, yep. So it's as fast as we possibly can.
In addition to the recommendations that were noted in the report, as one of the outcomes from today, we said that there would be a gas monitor project.
Yes, we absolutely will. So somebody said there, we'll get that bathroom and we'll have Jim. We just did that at North Port Iowa. We had sewer gas smell. Jim brought in a monitor. We were monitoring that. So we will put a monitor in those bathrooms and we'll take a look at what that level is and we'll share that with you. Absolutely.
You mentioned the word gas several times tonight. Have you looked at VOCs or is that even a consideration?
Not right now. VOC is usually on off-gassing from newer building material, and there's nothing new here. You know, everything here has been here for a long time. So that's the last thing we would look at. And we've done a lot of VOCs before, and the data just doesn't tell us much. Yeah.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen.
One more question.
It's a filter. You mentioned the filters, and you said something about HEPA filters. What, can we
can, you
them?
Cannot do that in a regular air conditioning unit.
We're at the
it's
max
not,
we can do.
Yeah, it's okay. not. Yeah.
If you look up MERV 13 on the internet, look up MERV 13.
It's pretty high.
That's what we are filtering to in all of our classrooms. So we transitioned to MERV 13 during COVID because that helped filter.
It would put too much static pressure on the unit.
I'm telling you, you still get that.
It won't work.
Yesterday I was joking. What? She afternoon. I had to go to her class.
The sinner smell?
No, her smell. Like your mouth.
We're getting the other one as well, though.
Yours smelled like what?
Fecal matter.
It did. And I was choking, and I had to be moved to her classroom.
And everything. People came
that
in.
That wasn't the morning,
too.
That was
that
the morning.
Yesterday.
We were talking about the morning.
I think the big thing is let's put the gas monitors in the bathrooms. And because if we're smelling, it's got to be coming from the drain. So we'll put it in the bathrooms. We'll watch it and see what's going on there.
But it wasn't it was on the other side, like near her wall. It wasn't near the bathrooms.
The other thing we can guess.
How are you feeling now since you moved out?
Not good.
The thing is, it's so in my system. I'm having crazy things. My lymph nodes are swelling all over my body, my rib cages. I'm reactive to everything now. I've been in the hospital to try to get this swelling down. They said I have to detox. That's why I would be great if we could find a way to get an MCAS just to see, because I know it's toxin released from the mold. I've been in that room for 8 years. So, that's long as you can go hard. But her daughter, who has the mysotoxin, was only in there for a few months and she was pulled out a month ago.
Nobody ever talked about that
at all. And I think other parents are going to be testing for it too, because I've had a lot of kids in the hospital this year. And no one can figure out what's wrong with them or why they're getting sick.
Well, the first thing, again, we just want to eliminate the issues that we found. I mean, these are some important things we found.
Yeah.
Has he seen that?
Did you want to see my test? I'm not sure if you are or not. This is what I was diagnosed with.
Let me just get my
test. Sorry.
I wanted to ask about rodents, but they didn't get a position.
You can ask her.
No, she's in charge of that. I think she is.
So I'm wondering if that means trace amounts. This is mine. This is present. I'm not sure what the equivocal means for these two. And this is my student's. She's got the glio. And you can have these if you like. We have plenty of copies.
Yeah. Again, I'm not a doctor. So
I know you're not. But it's just, it's present, and we've tested our homes.
But based off of these and the report that you provided to the school, her doctors advised her to get out of here.
So. Well, you definitely want to give our report to your doctor.
Yes.
So they can see.
Sure.
Yeah.
I went to my allergist yesterday. And they upped my shots to twice a week instead of once a week. So he's very concerned. And also
we're concerned too. I'm not saying we're not concerned.
No,
it's not you.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
you've been very professional.
You've seen what we had to do with our inspection. I was literally crawling inside the air handler room. So, we're very concerned. We want to make sure it's correct.
And we feel that from you.
No, we do. I'm just concerned about the mysotoxins because I know.
Sure, yeah, of course. Yeah,
that's, if two of us have it, then
how many
I
others?
Feel do there's harm in my room.
And we can test for those in the air.
Please.
Yes.
Please.
We can definitely test for that.
But whatever's also, I'm not in the building anymore, but I walk through in the morning. Whatever smell has been in here, it's
how long have you been gone from that room?
I'm sorry?
How long have you been gone from that room?
A week and 4 days.
Have you noticed any difference?
We can breathe easier in the new room. Okay. But anybody who's been complaining for a while in the old room, it's seven students plus myself, it's better, but a lot of lingering symptoms, and I'm starting to get the complaints again. But also out in the portables, we did smell the sewer smell out there this morning, and then a lot of kids got headaches again. So that's why we're wondering if there's some sort of toxic gas coming out of the sewers, too, on top of what the other things. You know, it feels like there's more than one thing affecting us. And
oh, yeah.
It's really scary.
So there's definitely a combination of things. It's not one thing. You know, the CO2 level is high.
We're just, you know, even if we remediate the mold, the other thing, like, is it going to be safe? Is that, like, can they figure it out to fix it? It's just, I don't know. And, like,
now, we haven't heard about the sewer gas in the portables before. That's the first time.
This morning was the first time I've ever smelled it. Granted, I've only been out there, but we walked into my classroom and it lasted about 10 minutes, and the kids were like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Is it just in the morning?
It was just today.
Just today?
But this week has been really bad in here. Sorry. In terms of that smell in the mornings. And it's like extreme dizziness, like pressure, and earaches, and faintness. Everyone's having heart flutters. Kids are complaining mostly of upset stomachs and headaches and dizziness. And it's just... So I know we're remedying the other things, but I still think there's something else in here making people sick. I think this place is just so cold. And I know, gosh, in the past 5 years, we've had so many plumbing issues, so many floods from the bathrooms. And one day, we actually kept the school open for 3 hours, and we lost all of our water. I just feel like it's just so, there's so many things in here. And I've been here a long time. I've been in the same room the whole time. Last year started bad. This year has gotten worse. Then since Christmas break this year, it's gotten even worse. But that's when the rats became prevalent. And we're like, are they running through the walls and spreading this stuff? Like, that's what we're trying to figure out.
We don't check for rats.
I know, but I'm afraid they may be spreading if they're in the walls. You know what I mean? And we're just trying to figure out why it's gotten so much worse. So
for us to get the reports that were previously
sorry.
Yes. So we do have no one else to send it to the school.
No one else can
see. I think that's what we're going to work on now is to figure out how
that's going
to
work. I didn't know as teachers. I had not made aware that I was supposed to share that.
Oh, no, no. We are sharing the updates to the admin side.
I mean, like, the pretty good test is not big, but, like, within the last few years.
There is an email that will be
I don't think I was actually saying.